before porn was a fantasy, it's not a fantasy anymore. It's happening. And I think that's a big part of why it's changing. And everyone has an iPhone or smartphone.
When Andy Warhol famously said, "In the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes," I'm not sure he realized that for so many people, it would be because of do-it-yourself porn.
Sex sells, and these days on the internet, everybody's posting either cheeky or explicit photos of themselves to hawk their wares. With the advent of crowdfunding sites, a lot of folks are turning their hookup app photos and videos into a money-making platform.
Today, Billy Santoro, one of the biggest gay porn stars, joins us to talk about the roller coaster ride these guys and gals get from their fans, from heartfelt acts of kindness to horrifyingly cruel hate.
Listen as Billy weighs in on how to turn on a straight man when you're gay.
Perez Hilton says he's disappointed he can't find a boyfriend.
Suit fetishes.
Life after not in front of my salad.
And humiliation and the rise of Trump dumpers in porn films.
I'm Fausto Ferranos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Mr. Santoro?
Oh, yes, it is. How you guys doing?
Please hold while your call is connected.
Mr. Santoro, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you for holding. And welcome to the Feast of Fun podcast.
Yeah.
Your favorite podcast ever. Isn't that right, Billy?
That is correct.
Endorsed by Billy Santoro. Every time he orgasms, a podcast gets a donation.
Or it's a feast of fun.
Mm-hmm. How you doing?
Lap it up.
I'm well. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm good, you know?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, God, it is that day. Shit.
It is. And we're spending it with a porn star.
You know?
Everybody should spend Valentine's Day with a porn star.
This is my come-on line, and it's not working. Everyone's busy for some reason.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, this is my first Valentine's Day with a porn star. One time I had dinner with this guy. He had me over, and he fixed me dinner on Valentine's Day. And it was probably our second or third date. And then as we sit down to eat, he puts on porn on his big TV, and it's gangbang porn of this chick, and all the guys had numbers on, and they would tear the numbers off like they were marathon runners, like after they fucked her.
Oh my Lord. You know, I feel like everything's been done.
Yeah, that was our last date. That was the last time.
Was he hoping that you would sort of marathon run him?
I don't know. I think, you know, he told me he was addicted to porn. Uh-huh. So he said he couldn't really get off without porn, so I think he just always wanted to watch porn.
He liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's uncomfortable for me when I meet up with someone who happens to be a fan and they're like, "Do you mind if we watch some porn while we fuck?" I'm like, "I'm right in front of you."
Well, just to be honest, like every time I'm at Steamworks or like, you know, your porn comes on, I change the channel.
I turn the other way. So I'm not facing it.
But you're like huge. Like, you know, no matter where I go, a gay bar or any place that plays like adult films, you're there boning some guy.
Yeah, you know, it's ruined the internet for me.
Can you even go on Tumblr at this point in time?
I do, and I just scroll past it, and sometimes I just get a chuckle because it's like a trip down memory lane for me.
Yeah. Does your own porn ever really turn you on, though?
Sometimes. more so my homemade stuff turns me on because it takes me back to that moment. But porn is so overproduced that I just remember what it's like on set behind the scenes and how stressed I got.
Mm-hmm. Is it natural for somebody to get a little bit uncomfortable looking at their own porn?
I think it's somewhat narcissistic, sure.
Well, considering you know so many people in the adult film industry, what is usually people's reaction to seeing themselves in a porn movie?
It's funny. We all have a different take on it, but most of the guys don't watch themselves. They won't watch the final product. I, on the other hand, watch every one of my scenes, and it's mainly just sometimes I'm self-critical of how I look. I'm like, oh my God, my hair is out of control. You can't even see my hole. Or it's to the point where it's like, I need to arch my back more. Why do I look hunched over? I mean, the dick's 11 inches. I'm going to hunch over.
I'm friends with one of the animators of The Simpsons, and she gets to see the episode. You know, she hears the episode months in advance as they're animating the show. And I ask her, like, does she sit back and watch the episode when it's finished? And she says it's excruciatingly hard for her to do so because she's focused and obsessed on one little animation that didn't come out right.
Yeah.
And so it kind of ruins the experience of watching the show for her. And, like, people ask us about the podcast or, like, Cooking with Drag Queens, and we have a very similar reaction to that. It's like, by the time you guys get to hear this, we, especially me and Talia, who are editing these shows together, we've seen it like 20 or 30 times, and we're just like, we're ready for something new. We're ready to move on to the next project.
Yeah. It's rare you have a really easy, smooth scene. It doesn't happen that often. And when you do, usually fuck off camera too. and that's usually more enjoyable. And that's the part you remember. But when I watch my porn, I'm definitely like, I did it. I was there. So I just want to look at more like how I sound and what I look like, and I'll make adjustments for the next time I film.
What's the big stressors that you have like when you're on set?
Waiting. Waiting for wood. Waiting for wood is probably my biggest stress.
Are you waiting for somebody to get hard?
Yes. You sit around and gay porn is a lot of mostly straight. So you're waiting for these guys looking at their cell phones at pussy to get hard, and you're just waiting. And then they get hard, and then they start touching you, and then by the time, you know, you're ready to actually get going, it goes down again. So that can be very stressful. It gets to the point where I'm like, I start snapping my fingers at them, and of course the dick's never going to get up if I do that.
Initially, when you first started doing porn and you were like discovering that you're having sex with straight guys or bi-curious guys, was that really exciting for you?
At first I was nervous about it because I was like, oh my God, what can I touch? What's going to offend them? Because when I do a porn, sure, there's a basic recipe for it. You do two oral, three positions and come. That's the basic recipe. But in that time, I'll do things that, you know, you don't have to do. Like I'll kiss or I'll rub my hands all over the body and I'll be a little more passionate. I'm less likely to do that much with a straight guy because I had one guy flat out tell me, don't touch my ass. And I was like, why would I touch your ass? I'm bottoming. It doesn't make sense. And then like I went down on my knees to suck his dick and I put my hands on his ass and his dick went right down. I was like, okay.
Oh, so he didn't even want you to touch like his buttocks at all.
No.
He wasn't even talking about the hole.
No. So I was like, okay, don't touch anything. Should I just keep my hands behind my back? Maybe we should do a BDSM scene or something.
Boy, is there a key to getting like getting a straight guy hard and keeping him hard?
Yeah, leave him alone. I think that's the key. Let him go in his little corner, look at his porn, what he needs to get hard, and let him get hard. I think doing this for so many years, I've gotten so comfortable on set that I think my personality disarms them to the point where they see me as more of a comedian and less as like someone who wants to fuck them. So it releases that tension that this fag wants to fuck them.
Do you ever pretend like you're just a straight dude too, or do they already know?
Never.
They already know?
No. I mean, my voice, honey, this voice cannot pretend. And, you know, and when I watch some of my scenes and they cast me as like the stepdad or something, I just start laughing. I'm like, come on, this is not me. I remember one scene in particular, I was fucking my stepson and I had to put him in a headlock while I was fucking him. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, this is one of those cheesy porn plots.
I had to whisper in his ear, don't tell your mother this is going on. And I sounded like the biggest bitchy queen when I said it.
You got to open up your throat and talk like the back of your mouth. Just open up that throat and don't tell your mother this is happening.
Wait a second. Right? Hold on a second. Mark, give us your best heteronormative voice. I'm just curious.
Well, the difference between a masculine
like.
Voice and a female voice is a woman's windpipe and is narrower, and so you like they talk higher like this. So if you constrict it, you talk, and then you just end up talking like Lady Bunny, or you can force it up into your nasal passage, and you can talk like Star Booty's niece.
That's me.
Give me your mask. Give me your butch.
If you want to be butch, you open your mouth and open that throat up and get that deep voice coming through and like that.
Oh my God, Mark, my nipples are getting hard.
Tweak them a little bit.
I don't know. I think that's a huge, don't follow Mark's advice on this.
No?
My feeling about it is a common trap for a lot of people who are trying to do male and female voices is the idea that you're raising the pitch or lowering the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, somebody that we love to imitate on the show is Dean from Supernatural.
Okay.
The actor, Mark, what's the name of the actor?
Jensen Ackles.
Jensen Ackles from Supernatural. And he's somebody who probably has had a lot of formal training in sounding heteronormative because he's somebody who comes from a Broadway, you know, musical background. And I'm sure when he arrived in Hollywood, he was like, I can't wait to get on these shows, girl. And so what he does, which is really interesting, is that his speech pattern, if you just isolate it in his notes, it's like, it sounds like a machine gun. And he's like, today we're going to be going to the grocery store. And, you know, same thing, you know, we do every Sunday, suck and fuck each other. And so straight guys tend to speak really kind of quickly. Whereas gay guys tend to enunciate
the vowels.
Like, yes, girl, you know, and we tend to enunciate things, whereas straight guys tend to mumble
things.
So
do a combination of two.
So of lengthening
the vowel? Open the throat.
Yeah.
But make the words
and
shorter.
Mumble.
Mumble it.
I can't wait to do this porn with you.
Don't tell your mother.
I'm telling you.
Let me try to do my highest voice at the same time sound butch. I can't wait to do this porn with you. I think it's going to be great.
I don't know.
You didn't buy it.
Not buying it.
How about you? Let's hear yours, Billy.
Oh, Lord. This is... Okay, here we go. Whew. I can't wait to do this porn with you.
Yeah, I totally bought it.
Well, the thing with porn stars too, when you look at like you know, people that perform online or do things online and they criticize, the number one criticism it seems like for porn stars is like, I was hot for him until he opened his mouth.
That is my curse.
Marky Moore.
But it's not just you, it's like a lot of other drag queens. I'm sorry, porn stars.
Yes, I mean same thing.
Used to it.
We're in the same circuit.
Yeah.
But like Marky Moore, he and I follow each other and like each other's statuses on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You're not the only porn star I have an intimate relationship with.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
He's really beautiful. And when he starts talking, it's like, I just love sucking the dicks. It's real good. Yeah.
Have you fucked him yet?
No. He's an exclusive at Nextdoor, so he's not allowed to do a lot of work.
But I mean, can't you have sex for fun?
I can if I ever find myself out wherever he lives. I think he lives in Arizona.
Mm. Oh, shit, honey.
Yeah.
Because the nature of porn is really, really changing these days. Because, I mean, before it used to be big studios. You'd have to buy it, like, on video cassettes or DVDs. And then the internet kind of took over. But still the studio
system. The golden days.
Yeah, and then the big studios are still putting out a lot of work. But nowadays, a lot of people like you yourself are taking the reins into their own hands, if you will.
I mean, that has a lot to do with the internet in general and studio porn. And it has a lot to do with Grindr, to be honest. People are having the sex they want to have nowadays, where before it was taboo. Just putting some studio piece of crap in front of their face doesn't work. It's not reality to them, you know?
So there's an appetite for user-generated content. And since people are posting their dick pics on Scruff and Grindr and
it's
boy,
not
boy.
Enough to be teased.
Uh-huh. They want to see it.
They want to see it, and they want to be able to. They want to be able to relate to it. Before, porn was a fantasy. It's not a fantasy anymore. It's happening, and I think that's a big part of why it's changing. And everyone has an iPhone or smartphone.
Well,
people
can
make their own stuff.
Andy Warhol used to say that in the future we'll be famous for 15 minutes, but not many of us realize that it would be for being nude and doing porn.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've made a couple porn stars just out of my own personal hookups. It just takes, you know, I feel like the content that sells, like I know what I'm being paid to do studio work, and it's very low, and I'm a big name. So I can only imagine what people are making right off the boat. I mean, you're not making a lot of money. Whereas if I post a video on, say, an OnlyFans, you know, I'm bringing in almost 15, 20 grand a month on that.
Holy cow.
So are you saying that Stu, the bodybuilder known as Jake Burton, got ripped off by Sean Cody?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Damn. You know, I have a fantasy that they're like living in these posh mansions where they're swimming. They're like rappers, millionaire rappers. You know?
Maybe the presidents of the studios are. But even they're broke. I mean, honestly, they're all struggling.
So basically, Pornhub is kind of one ring to rule them all, and everybody else is struggling in the world.
Well, Pornhub is owned by MindGeek, which owns Men.com, Sean Cody. I mean, it's a big porn conglomerate. So when you see the free stuff on there, it's not free stuff. They own it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Pornhub is this giant company that owns everything, and they're the ones who are sort of the rich. That's where all the money is being funneled.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. They're definitely rich. But the thing is, they do allow us to use Pornhub for our self-produced content. I make money off Pornhub with my homemade clips. The trick to doing it is to put your eggs in different baskets, so to speak, and use as many platforms as you can to get out there. Because someone who watches Sean Cody all the time is never going to watch Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where their membership is. Mm-hmm.
So do you have like removable tattoos that you put on when you do the Falcon?
No, I have zero tattoos. And I think that's why I still do porn. I mean, I'm still marketable. And I think nowadays the tattoos are a negative from what I've been hearing from producers.
Well, there was a porn star named Peter Proud. He's like, you know, 15 years ago or something. And he was gorgeous. He's a muscular redhead. And he started getting these tattoos because he was mad that gay bars and people were cropping his head off and using his photos to do posters for events and stuff.
Oh, I mean, I get that. I understand that. I remember I was in San Francisco once to perform at the Kink Armory. And I was walking down the street because my ritual, because Kink is BDSM porn. And my ritual after 8 hours of getting beat up is to go over to the High Tops bar there and have a cocktail and just relax and let the bruises heal. Well, I was walking up the street and I saw on the light pole, you know, because in San Francisco, they post all their club flyers all over the light poles there.
Sure.
I was walking by and I saw my likeness, my image on this big flyer. And it said, was it Bears Bath and Beyond at Steamworks?
Ooh.
And I was like, I'm not going to be there. But the way the image was, it looked like, and I was getting asked that whole weekend, are you going to be at Steamworks? What time do you get there? I'm like, I'm not booked to be there. I said, but what happens is these studios, to make extra money, like that was a Falcon photo. Mm-hmm. What they'll do is they will sell the image to Steamworks to use.
Sure.
And that's how you end up all over the place. But it's also misrepresentation just because so what happened is if they cut his head off and used it, some studio probably sold that to them, you know?
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And so the question a lot of people are asking themselves these days, because they're more, you know, we've sort of overcome the hump of putting our dick pics and sexually explicit photos on these hookup apps. And now the people on these hookup apps are asking us for videos of ourselves, right?
Yeah, it's insane. It's so insane.
That's kind of, for me, that's where I draw the line, because I'm like, if you're going to want to see videos of me like rubbing one out or having sex with another guy, I might as well get paid for it.
Exactly. Or even like, you know, we're from a different generation where you didn't get to see the package before you took it home. Mm-hmm. And I'm still very much of that need. Like, I like to be surprised. I like to unwrap the gift when I get it home. So when I'm on the hookup apps, I rarely send video. I will never send video. And I don't have dick pics on my app because I feel like I don't need them. I feel like I don't need them. And then people are like, how do I know it's really you? And I go through that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it's a real thing, because right now I can tell you my Billy Santoro is on Grindr in 12 different cities being impersonated.
Oh, yeah.
But that's something I have to deal with.
Whenever I run into myself on hookup apps, I just say, you look fantastic.
you look so hot. Well, I think also too is like the people that always want videos before the hookups or because of the hookups,
they're just jerking off.
They're not really interested in hooking up with you. They just want to see. So they're probably, you're just giving some weird random stranger something to look at.
Although I've been very impressed when somebody sexy sends a video of themselves, and I'm just like, I just don't feel, I just can't do that.
Now I can't compete. I'm not sending it.
Should everybody who's listening to the show get on OnlyFans? Because there's always a lid for every pot, and if you know...
But what is OnlyFans for people that don't know?
That's kind of like Patreon, but for porn, right?
Well, is it only porn?
No, it can be anything you want. Like, I feel like OnlyFans was designed not for the adult industry. I feel like OnlyFans was designed for upstart comedians, for singers, to put their content out there and charge a little bit while they pursue their craft. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was the original intent of OnlyFans, but the porn industry latched onto it. And now it's become, every time you go on there, you're looking for fucking. I feel like the company never wanted it that way.
But the reason OnlyFans is doing pornography is because it doesn't have the restrictions that Patreon does.
True. But I would say, I feel like anyone can have a fan out there that wants to see your content. Mm-hmm. It's just how you market yourself and make sure, because what happens when you join something? If it's not getting updated, you stop going back to it. And you cancel. So the trick is to keep up with it. And that's where a lot of people fail. I update every day. Every day I put something up. Whether it's a photo, it's usually a video, but I put something up.
A video of like sexual action.
It's always sexual and it's never solo. Like I always hook up and film it.
Do you feel like you have to come in your self-made erotic videos?
No, not at all. I don't think people, like, I have one guy who just face fucked me and it's like gagging and spitting and all that other crap. And that's enough to get people off that like that stuff. So I try to tackle different fetishes that aren't necessarily my own just to lure that 2-3 people that like that.
Do you feel like you have to put a certain amount of time? Like, you know, is it if you do like a 1 minute video that people feel cheated or they want like 20 minutes or how does that work?
Well, this has been my obstacle. When I started leakedandloaded.com, which is basically similar, it's homemade videos. I always wanted to do like 2 minute clips or 2 to 5 minute clips and that's it. And kind of have like 5 or 6 clips per fuck session. So people can just buy whatever they want to see because not everyone wants to see everything or they fast forward through it. So I was kind of targeting that market that fast forwards through porn. Mm-hmm. Now, because I have been doing that for almost 2 years now, I was already conditioned to produce content for myself. So I'm used to finding people to fuck every day and filming it. So I'm used to it. It's like second nature to me. Whereas a lot of people in my industry are having trouble with it. They're like, oh my God, Billy, how do you find guys that want to fuck? No one wants to use their face. People don't want to be on camera. I'm like, I tell them I don't hook up unless you let me film it.
Oh wow! If I have sex with you, I have to be filmed.
You have to be open to it. Oh, I don't do it all the time, but I want someone who's uninhibited and is, and I will get something out of it too. And that's how I look at it. Someone who's willing to be that uninhibited is going to be good sex for me.
Mm-hmm. And you tell them it's going to be posted online.
Yes, absolutely.
And that probably is a selling point for some people.
And if I put their face in it, I get a copy of their ID. I mean, I'm by the book with this shit.
Mm.
Wow.
Because you're like, you are 18 years old.
Well, you need to make sure sometimes.
You started putting people on blast in BillyLeakedIt.com, where you start writing extensively about your industry and some of the controversial things. And one of the top stories is about syphilis and a porn star named Mr. Marcus.
Yes, he's a former porn star. This has happened about 2013. I was just getting in the industry, and I had tested positive for syphilis a long time ago. But when you test for syphilis in the future after that, you will always test positive for the antibodies. So you will always be reactive. Mm-hmm. But it's based on your RPR count, whether it's a new infection or not. Well, the straight industry, which does all the testing, never tested for syphilis. They only tested for HIV, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. Well, he basically went a few months just performing with syphilis and not knowing he had it because the testing wasn't covering syphilis. Well, finally, he figured it out. And, you know, they called a moratorium in production, which is basically a freeze all production for studios that do test. On the gay side, only a few studios test. Not everyone tests. If you're using a condom, they don't test. So what I'm trying to push for in the industry now is to kind of get on board with testing. Because, you know, I caught gonorrhea a couple times on set within condom porn. We don't suck on the condom. So it's still risky whenever you have sex. It doesn't matter. The testing still doesn't cover you. It's 14-day window period. So if you know me, I'll fuck 14 different people in 14 days, and my test is still active or valid.
So what can we glean about Mr. Marcos? Because I was reading that he was like, he was doing porn and being photographed, and they didn't even bother retouching the visible rash and lesions he had on his genitals.
Yeah.
And so all these posters and pictures with his, like, you know, funky dick was being thrown all over the internet. Yeah. And people are just, like, horrified by that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it shows that the I don't want to say the lack of education or the difference in education between the gay community and the straight community, because he's a straight performer and follower. Sure. And the straight side is more scared of one thing, HIV. Like, if you test in the industry and you test positive for HIV, whether you're undetectable or not, you cannot perform. We're on the gay side. We're not like that. You know, if you're undetectable and we're on PrEP, it's fine. You can perform, or we leave it up to the performers. But because the system that is in place automatically disqualifies anyone who tests positive for HIV.
So is there a lesson to be learned here?
The lesson to be learned is that you need to test all the time. That's the lesson for me. On the gay side, we're a little more lax with it. And maybe it's because of PrEP and because of undetectability. But we are lax with testing on the gay side. And I feel like we should follow suit with the straight side and test for all of our scenes.
Well, you know, is it Bob the drag queen who's doing ads for home HIV testing kits?
Yeah, the drag queens often do because, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're horrible. Because
they have so much brand. Sex.
But so basically they sell these kits that, and I still feel like the price is too high, you know, but they can make it as cheap as aspirin. Everybody
thing with those kits, though, too, is like they're for people that are like in the closet and they don't have access to like a gay men's health clinic. So if they're queer and they're like in the middle of nowhere and they don't know how else to do it, this is a good option for them.
Yeah. I mean, in the adult industry anyway, they do go through a third party. It's like, you're not allowed to do your own testing.
But the drawback of all this sort of self-produced content is that some of the studios are pushing their talent to self-produce in order and still keep the money in order to avoid dealing with laws and restrictions and safety protocols.
And that's what it appears to be. I mean, I'm going to say most models in the adult industry are permitted to do whatever they want. If they want to do an OnlyFans, they can. But when you're in the studio, you have to focus on studio work. It's a conflict of interest. But one studio in particular started a OnlyFans, not OnlyFans. They're kind of biting off of what it's called. And they're calling it Cocky Boys Fans Only. And what it is, it's just produced content. They're marketing it as performer produced content, but it's just studio porn. But it's being filmed by a model rather than by the producers. And what this does, it kind of absolves the producer of liability if someone happens to test for something.
And where does
the producer is held accountable. The person filming the content is the one responsible for making sure the models are safe.
And so Boomer Banks, who we know from hanging out at the RuPaul's Drag Race drag cons like you do, he called you up and he wasn't too pleased.
Oh, no. We chatted this morning and last night. Boomer's a really good friend of mine, and we differ in our opinions on some things. But at the same time, what he's doing is... it's okay. I mean, I don't disagree with what he's doing. He should always, he just has a company that's backing him that I don't agree with. That's all. I don't think he should take this monkey on his back with testing. I feel like if the cocky boys are going to be basically taking credit for all of this, because that's what it looks like, they should have the accountability for if one of the models gets sick.
But to explain to the listeners, Boomer Banks is tied to this trend of studios pushing their talent to do self made content in order to skirt around safety and liability issues.
Well, this is his concept. This is his brainchild. Sure. Cocky Boys Fans Only is his thing. It's his production. The Cocky Boys are just backing him, but the way they're marketing it makes it look like it's them.
Sure.
Do you understand? Mm, sure. So it just makes it look like Boomer's just in the scene. Mm-hmm. It's just his, where he is the producer.
How is this any different than, Only for Fans? Only the fact that there's just somebody who knows how to run a video camera and branding it differently.
Well, that's the huge difference. With OnlyFans, you get more amateur content. You're not going to find on OnlyFans a porn video. You're just not going to find it.
Sure.
You're going to find the shaky camera. You're going to find the real sex that happens. You're not going to find two models who are paid to be there. You're just not going to find that. So it is a little different. Sure, he's in charge of all his casting and all that. But at the end of the day, you're paying a model to do this. I don't pay people to hook up with me. So it's a huge difference.
With you and Boomer, how did you guys resolve your differences?
It's deeper than that, because I started the blog for one sole reason. There's a straight porn star who took her own life, August Ames, and it was due to cyberbullying from a blog. And, I've been bullied by this blog for my entire career. It's one of those, wannabe Perez Hilton type blogs. And they attack porn stars. They put if you've been arrested, they'll print your real name and your arrest record. They'll dox you. I mean, it's insane. So I decided that's it. This is enough. She's like the fourth porn star to kill herself over this bullshit. So I started a blog, and I'm going after the companies that support this blog and looking in their closets. That's pretty much what I'm doing.
So you're kind of being a detective.
I am. I'm done, and it's time to protect models, and that's where I'm at right now. Models get the short end of the stick in this industry, and they always will, as long as the money stays up top.
Mm.
Is this being effective? Do you think? Or part of me is just like, these kind of people are always in the world. They're hurt. They're passing on abuse to others, and certainly, someone like Perez Hilton, even he himself is someone who struggles with. I don't want to say mental health issues, but he's posted a news story that says he's disappointed he's alone on Valentine's Day, and everyone's kind of chuckling to themselves, saying maybe if you were a little bit more compassionate or kinder or less
he's a terrible
manipulative
person,
maybe you wouldn't. It would be easier for you to connect with people, but you have such a huge public persona that precedes you and overshadows your own humanity. That's really hard for any person who is aware of your work to really want to go on a date with you.
I used to give him the benefit of the doubt just from his blog and stuff like that. It's like, oh, it's just being snarky. It's being this, it's being that. But then after watching him on Celebrity Big Brother UK, just become this monster and visually actually seeing it, you're just like, he really is reprehensible.
And that's part of the reason that he's a household name is I think that,
people eat this shit up.
Well, I also think he's being pushed by Hollywood to be sort of a scapegoat for the internet. So people that are reasonable or kind or measured and nuanced don't get all this media attention the way he does. And so Hollywood can say, see, the internet is a landmine of crazy wackadoodles like Perez Hilton. And if you go on Feast the Fun's podcast, you might as well be just posting your cum pics like Jennifer Lawrence on your face on the internet. And for the record, that wasn't Jennifer Lawrence. It was just a woman who looked like her. And so, part of it is like Valentine's Day brings a lot of expectations for people. It's a very heteronormative idea that's marketed to give people the sense of haves and have nots. It's like, if I buy this product, if I subscribe to this notion of romance, then my life will feel better. But, when I talk to and listen to people about their needs for romance, I always say it's like, remember what RuPaul says, take care of yourself before you can take care of others. You can't love somebody else if you're not loving yourself. And loving yourself means accepting yourself for your mistakes. And I feel like people in this world like Perez Hilton tend to be very hard on themselves and have a lot of guilt and a lot of regrets. And part of it is like, you really can't change the past, but you can certainly like think about how you relate to people in the future and be a better person. And I just, you know, I feel like when you're kind of a media personality and you want to be a better person, and then you go on Oprah and Deepak Chopra are interviewing you and you're like, I'm a reformed man, I'm going to be nice to people. You kind of come across as that, like that black guy who was in the Pentecostal church saying, I don't like men's no more, I like women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Women, women, women. I still follow him on Facebook. He's still wackadoodle. Yeah. Yeah. So what is going on in the porn world with Topher DiMaggio?
Oh, Lord, I knew it was coming.
He's been accused by several different people of sexual harassment. I've been reading, one guy says, you know, he's been sexually assaulted, and that they weren't supposed to have sex the night before they had a shoot, but he, like, pressured him into it, and then he came in his ass. And, like, that's the number one rule in porn, don't come the day before, so you have a nice fresh load. And I was reading some of the comments saying that, like, he used to work here in Chicago as, like, a go-go boy. I don't know if these are true or not, because they're just internet comments, and he was, like, very aggressive here. What's the dealio? What's going on?
Well, Topher, I know Topher pretty well. I've worked with him a couple times. He's pushy and he's very aggressive. And I could definitely see all this being true, but it's alleged. And I feel like until it's proven, he shouldn't be getting bashed like this.
But I feel sorry. Just one it's a couple of different people, isn't it?
Yes, it's three or four now.
And then
five.
Andrew Christian suspended him.
Andrew Christian did suspend him, but there's a huge cover up there. I got some news from some of the office that it was basically Topher had worked for a rival company, without permission, JJ Malibu, and they just used this as an excuse to suspend him.
So he worked for a rival, underwear company.
Yeah, he worked for a rival company. But they used it as
I'm in the wrong business. I should be like selling underwear.
But it's insane. Like it's insane. I agree. Yes, he should be suspended from Andrew Christian because he's representing a brand and he's got a negative publicity right now. So you don't want that representing your brand, regardless of whether it's true or not. It's out there. It's negative. But at the same time, he shouldn't be being crucified without proof.
So, well, do you feel like the industry is not handling it well?
I feel like it's not up to the industry to handle it well at this point. It's got to be, it's deeper than that. If people are coming forward, then go to the police and make it a criminal investigation. Because at this point, you're just getting trashed in the blogs, and it's like a joke at this point to me. To me, it's a joke. Like, when I run my blog, I don't say shit unless I have proof. I just don't. You know, you find a couple sources that can verify it, and then you go public with it.
Sure.
That's basic journalism. At the end of the day, I mean, it gets just so deep with this. One of the blogs, the hate blog I keep referring to, Straight Up Gay Porn, is run by...
Is that the name of it?
That's the name of it, straightupgayporn.com. Okay. And they basically target the enemies of the studios that the PR guy, who happens to also own the blog, works for. So he works for Cocky Boys, he works for Naked Sword, Falcon, and he works for Bellamy.
So any of the other studios, he's after them.
It's good to make their models look like shit.
Okay.
Because this way people will buy his product. You will never see anything negative on that blog about the Cocky Boys.
Well, do you
Although
feel
I have like 12 models that came forward accusing them of sexual harassment, accusing them of not paying, and accusing them of all these other issues. Well, but you never hear about it.
Do you
it.
Think that, like, if somebody is accused of sexual harassment in the porn world, do you think that affects their bottom line, like, as far as people, like, downloading or buying their stuff?
Not at all. No.
I don't believe, because people are sick fucks.
I think people are sick. No, people are sick fucks, and at the end of the day, they want to watch their guy fuck someone. That's not why people buy porn. I feel like, because Colby Keller caught all this flack when he voted for Trump. We're not going to buy his porn anymore.
Colby Keller's the hipster guy on Twitter who revealed himself to be a Trump supporter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really hard to watch DJ Veritas's porn for Sean Cody after I found out he murdered somebody.
Well, I hope so.
Well, that's the same reason I change a channel when I see you at. And then, I'm just kidding.
Right?
But it is like, you know, part of the allure of sexual films, at least for mean for, I'm guessing, for a lot of other people is the neutrality of it. We don't know these people. And so we can fantasize all we want. If we get too much into specifics, like, I don't want to know what kind of hobbies or even geographically where they live or too much about their opinions on anything because I want to.
It's like watching your friend.
Yeah, but that's you. But I don't know if a lot of people are like that, because Billy, you probably can attest to this. There's some people that they want to know every detail about your life. They're really into all this kind of stuff. And we've met porn stars before, and then we've met their fans, and their fans are just like, they're so into them, and they're just like, they're enamored, they're mesmerized by them, and it's just like they want to know everything about them, and they follow them around everywhere. Like, after we have you on this podcast, we're going to get emails from people who will be like, you have to interview my, like, the porn star I'm hot for. We'll get at least 5 to 10 of those. And we're like, well, what do they want to talk about? All
right. And just for the record, you approached us and you were very specific with what you wanted to talk about. And a lot of the questions that we're talking about, just like, you know, we had Miss Cracker on yesterday. Mm-hmm. A lot of the questions that we're bringing up with the guests are based on articles they've written in the past. It's not like we're throwing a curveball at you and going, what do you think about this? You know, you've written about a lot of these things on your blog.
Yes.
So men.com now is they've done their first video that doesn't use condoms.
Yes.
That's kind of a big move for them, huh?
Two straight performers. It comes out this Saturday. But men.com, they already have these testing procedures in place. I worked for them. And when you do bareback for men.com, what they'll do, because men.com also owns bromo.com, and that's their bareback site.
Okay. I know, so did you do bromo or men.com? Did you wear a suit or did you not wear a suit?
I did not wear a suit. I was,
so that's
I was
bromo,
in a
right?
I was in a gangbang, I think.
Oh, hot.
I think.
Because the suit wearing porn is very, like, it's very sexy and it's very hot, but it's also kind of, in some ways,
fucking
very
tedious.
It's tedious and kind of silly sometimes, right?
Yeah, it's insane. I've done so many.
And it's usually at least one of them ends up completely naked, but sometimes the other guy, the only thing that'll be out is just his dick, right?
Yeah, most of the time. Well, they want you to either keep the socks and shoes on and a tie. That's usually what they want at the end.
Okay.
So I did a scene in France where I was in the entire suit and just my butt ripped open, you know, the whole scene.
Oh, my God. Well, why do you think that is? Is it like suits are a fetish for people? Or is
it's a fetish.
Yeah. Because also, too, it's like they've done like science studies and they've realized that men, even straight guys, are turned on by dicks. And so is it just because, like, you know, this dick hanging out of a suit is kind of like a disembodied penis?
I don't know if it's that. I really just think it's a fetish for the suit, like a professional look, for sure. Like,
well, you know, when you wear a suit, when you wear a suit, people treat you differently.
Well, that's for sure. I have about 10 of them in my closet with cum on them.
Oh, gee.
Like corporate business suits, like expensive ones?
Yeah.
Were these for like shoots or were these just you were out and about and it was just like,
I used to work for men.com, they would fly us in a day early if we had a suit scene and we would go get fitted for a suit. Mm-hmm. And then it was fitted for us. So they'd be like, all right, keep it.
Oh, that's
so
hot.
I have all these suits.
I need a new suit.
What do you think about the viral clip that was not in front of my salad?
Oh, speaking of him, well, it's funny. He catches a lot of heat. The bottom that was in that scene, Jake Porter. I'm going to be having him here in March to film for my site. He's also a gay Republican and all that stuff. So he catches a lot of flack. But it's funny how that took off. I mean, it's so weird what you think is going to take off. Men.com tried to do a sequel to it and it failed miserably. So you can't recreate
like
the salad.
It was these premises are so ridiculous. Like I'm just looking here at one of them on men.com. That is basically it's these three guys and his roommate catches him watching porn and he gets really mad. It's called Closet Peepers. And he's like, then catches him having sex with another guy and he's like intrigued by it. And instead of like just going, ew, gross, and leaving the room, he drops his towel and jumps in. And so the premises on all these things are really kind of outrageous. And so not in front of my salad, sort of
try acting in them.
Yeah.
Try not laughing. A straight face in a gay
exactly.
porn.
And I am never, I've never done one take because I can't stop laughing. Like some of the stuff that has to come out of my mouth, I'm like, it's not going to come out. Like I've had to do takes in 24 clips. We're saying one word at a time and edited together because I cannot get through this because it's so unbelievable.
Girl, get it together.
I know. I try. I just can't keep a straight. I even look at their foreheads to try not to look at their faces.
Have you seen this trend that everyone's sharing is Trump supporters or right-wing Nazi porn? They call them Trump dumpers. Which is a group of men wearing Make America Great Again hats, barebacking into a bottom who usually is either a twink or a Mexican immigrant. And they're, you know, and to me, it's kind of like obviously a little bit making fun of the horrible dynamics we find ourselves politically. But at the same time, it's like it's fascinating because there probably is a lot of men who want to see gay men having sex that don't challenge their political beliefs or reinforce them.
I don't think it has much to do with politics. I think it's about humiliation. People who love humiliation porn will watch that. They want to see someone humiliated. They want to see someone humiliated. That's what it's about.
Is that that's sort of where the whole appeal of Donald Trump is? Is that where Trump is kind of like the daddy bully and
he's gets a bully, people absolutely.
Arousing? Yeah, and some people absolutely. Like that. They want to see other people get picked on. They want to punish people, and they're like, oh yeah, get him. You know, it's a mob mentality. It's a witch hunt in some ways.
But it's also sexually arousing.
Oh,
and
I'm so sure.
As
right?
you're holding that pitchfork in one hand, you're holding your dick in the other.
Well, the other thing too is I think they said a lot of Trump supporters, like people that are supporting, they're not getting laid. They're not having a lot of sex, these people that are voting for them. You know, a lot of them are single, they're not in relationships, or if they're in marriages, they're not having sex with their partner, they're isolated. And so, you know, they're not feeling the wonderful comfort of a hot cock, so they're voting to hate.
Well, as someone who's done those kind of porns, the humiliation porns, you get to let go as a performer. There's things that, stuff like that I would never do in my personal life. But when I'm on set and they're like, smack him in the face, I'm like, yeah.
But is there a trick to smacking somebody in the face without really hurting them?
There is. It's hard to explain. It's more about like cupping the hand.
Okay.
I'm sure if I grasp this concept well, Billy, we should get together and let me smack you in the face.
Sure.
Make sure I get it right.
Trust me, I've been the guinea pig a few times and been in a lot of pain.
What's a good way to choke somebody without really like killing them?
Don't look at me.
I think the best way to choke them is not to choke them. Just flex your forearms and your biceps while you're fake squeezing. I mean, do a performance method. But I know you're into choking, so I don't know if you'll be able to get away with that. I think Austin Wolf is the one to ask for that advice.
Okay.
He seems to take people right to their limit.
We'll call him up.
you'll see it. I mean, every porn he does, it's nipples and choking.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Do you ever do something in a film or video and like you think it's going to be really sexy and the majority of your fans go, ew, gross?
Yes, absolutely.
what was that?
Oh God. It's happened a couple times. The first time I did it, I was doing a three-way, and it was a condom scene, and the bottom was riding the one guy, and I was pulling his dick out of his ass, shoving it in my mouth, and then shoving it back in his ass, but not taking the condom off. So that's kind of it sounded sexy at the time, but watching me eat on a condom was not sexy when I watched it. It was disgusting. And the taste was not great either. And then the other time was similar. I was doing ass to mouth, and you know, it's a little dirtier situation, but I thought it'd be sexy, but he wasn't perfectly cleaned.
when you were a kid and you had a piece of candy and you thought it would be a good idea to eat the wrapper with the candy.
Yeah.
Whoever thought that would be a good idea.
Kids do it all the time. They even sell like edible wrapper candy. Especially in Japan, they make them out of rice paper so you can eat the candy with the rice, with the wrapper.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a foreign you guys are all like, what? What kind of crazy child is going to put something in its mouth and try to eat it? You're like, oh, you've never heard of a kid stick. Kids stick things in their mouths all the time.
Kids stick things, but nobody wants to eat a wrapper.
Oh my God, kids all the time. If there's candy they inside there.
Okay. Yeah, those are the kids that grew up to eat Tide Pods, okay?
Those are the kids who are voting for Trump.
Yeah. Tide Pods.
Listen, there's a whole kind of candy that has, you've eaten this too. It's a taffy wrapped in rice paper. And the idea is because the rice paper melts away and reveals the juicy, gooey goodness in the center. Mm. So it's not that outrageous. And there's also wax lips that have sugar in them and you can chew.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, it's the line between wrapper and candy sometimes gets blurred.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, I want to thank you so much for supporting our Kickstarter for Cooking with Drag Queens.
Yes, I love it.
You were so instrumental in telling your fans to go out and pledge, and it really made a difference. We would have not had a third season if it wasn't for you.
Can't wait for the fourth now. Come on, let's go.
Well, we're getting our third season. We've already done a couple of episodes, and so we're working on the editing now, and we have some other ones coming up where we're filming in the next couple of months.
We have one that's in the can that is probably going to be more explosive than we realize now. It's with T.S. Madison.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
She comes back because we already taped one with her, but this is, you know, the full production with her. And I don't know if you recently have been following The Queen's Court, T.S. Madison's really popular live video series on Facebook, where she and rapper Kia sort of talk about the hot news and topics and trends. And
Kia, you might know from, she had that one. She's got a bunch of tracks, but her big hit is my neck, my back, my pussy, and my.
Oh, crack. Yeah.
So that's her big hit.
That's the name of the song. My neck, my back.
Yeah, but do not call her a one hit wonder, because she will hit you and you will wonder.
Of course,
it's Kia Shimon.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Monique, who shares a very similar demographic and appeal as these two lovely entertainers, came forward with the fact that she was offered a very poor deal with Netflix, and she felt like she was being discriminated against. And Wanda Sykes came forward and said, "Yeah, me too." And, you know, there was a lot of controversy and a lot of discussion, a lot of people saying that, you know, T.S. Madison was being ungracious, but then Monique said she was being ungracious with that offer, and then Monique posted the contract that she was being asked to sign, which basically silenced her as an entertainer for a decade after the special.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds outrageous, but it's not that outrageous considering how much money they're spending on these artists.
Yeah.
I think Monique could have easily been offered $1 million, and they give her $500,000, which I think is actually lowballing her. But she can't do those jokes anywhere else, and she can't have a comedy special anywhere else.
But, yeah, you know, 10 years
Monique
is a long
hasn't
time.
Done a comedy special since I Could Be Your Bitch. Live from the women's prison, like, which was hysterically funny. So, you know, it's a shame because I'm a big fan of Monique's comedy, and I was, when I heard that she was considering a Netflix special, it was heartbreaking to know that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Moving forward, Madison Hinton and Kia Shimon, I guess, were able to contact Monique and invited her onto Queen's Court. Now, all of them live in Atlanta, and I don't quite understand why they didn't all just meet in the same room. It would have been beautiful to have, like, you know, sisters united, the visual of the three black women hugging each other and in solidarity would have been really powerful. And unfortunately, they felt like they had to rush this and to get it out. And as a consequence, there was a lot of technical problems the day of the filming, and Kia Shimon, who was already she had other frustrations with the process of doing the series, she just walked off the set and has posted a very condemning video on the internet, and just basically said, I don't want to work with Madison Hinton anymore, and isn't returning her calls. Wow. That, on top of all that, Monique is at, you know, she's trying to talk the girls off the ledge. She's trying to calm them down and say, babies, this is going to be okay. We can do this. But she's live streaming it all on her Instagram.
Of course.
The meltdown. And so it's a, you know, a clusterfuck right now. And Madison Hinton will survive, and she will, you know, we will move forward. But Mark and I are doing a secret podcast only for fans.
There you go.
Where we sort of talk about the challenges, because we've been doing this stuff for 15 years. And when Mark and I interview somebody, sometimes we step on each other's toes, and there's a lot of technical problems. And so we're going to share with you some of our stories of when people or ourselves walked off the set in anger and frustration.
It happens.
And
happens in every kind of medium, I believe.
And I'm going to share with you guys a little story of us taping Cooking with Drag Queens with T.S. Madison and how it almost fell apart. But that's only on our secret fans. Only on our secret podcast. And just for the record, T.S. Madison is extremely professional, kind, and warm and talented person. And she was not frustrated with us. She was frustrated with something else in her life. But we want to share that story exclusively for you guys on our secret podcast. Because
we don't know if it'll make it into the episode.
It probably will not.
Yeah.
And
it's something that is worth talking about, you know. So on Absolutely. So. And I just want to thank you so much for doing that, you know, for helping us make this moment possible, you know?
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm waiting for the TV deal.
Hopefully it'll come.
You know, the thing about it is, when we first started doing Cooking with Drag Queens, it came out because we were having these guests in our home and we were feeding them.
We were hungry.
We were feeding them. And Mark and I are passionate about food, and both of us have extensive culinary backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Mark and I have both worked as chefs at restaurants. Mark's managed and run restaurants for decades. And to this day, you work as a, you know, outside in the food industry. And so we were just like, people were just really impressed with the fact that we can cook this as well as we do.
Yeah.
And so we started filming all this stuff. The first video we did was with Lola von Miramar, where we made those tostones.
Yes, but then later on,
Alaska Thunderfuck caught wind of our pumpkin pie flan with Pandora Box. And she said, this is a series I really believe in. And Alaska Thunderfuck was very instrumental in getting the first season of Cooking with Drag Queens funded and did a lot to push it on her social media channels. And So Cooking with Drag Queens is kind of a nonsensical thing. It doesn't really make a lot of sense why you would do a cooking show with drag queens, but it's inspired a lot of drag queens and gender nonconforming artists to make their own cooking shows. And so if you go on the internet and just search drag queens cooking, you're going to find thousands of knockoff shows all inspired by Cooking with Drag Queens, which to me is the weirdest thing because it doesn't make a lot of sense why people would copy it, but I'm just glad that they do, and I'm glad that people are cooking for themselves and inspiring other people to cook at home and make food and share it with their friends.
I've gotten so lazy. I joined Blue Apron.
I think that's good. You know, as long as you're sort of putting the consumption of the food that you put in your body in your own hands, I think it's a very healthy thing to do.
And are you happy with that service?
I love it. Mm-hmm. It's so easy, and I hate fighting with people at the grocery store. I love it.
What do you mean you fight with people when you go to the grocery store?
I just get antsy when I'm around people in lines and all that other stuff. I'm just like, get out of my way.
Do you have social anxiety?
It's delivered. It's here. You know, go to the grocery store. You got that one queen at the register, like, that's bullshit. I'm like, just check me out.
Don't not ask like that. What I'm doing with all these cucumbers.
I mean, I was at self-checkout once, and someone asked me flat out. They're like, they came up to me, I love your work. And I'm like, oh, my God. His hand was probably just jacking off to me, and he wants to shake my hand. And I have food. And I said, give me a hug, baby. I'm not touching your hands.
You're like Oprah. Always, you don't want to hug.
I always go for the hug. I'd rather have a hug than
Oprah
someone's
doesn't
hands want to
hug
me.
Her guests or her fans because her makeup will smear on their clothes. And I heard a rumor.
I mean, I can understand that.
That one time she hugged, I think it was Mariah Carey that she hugged, and like half of her face came off on her blouse, and they had to redo it.
So I can totally understand that.
We call it the Oprah hug, when you stick your hands out and you grab their other hands, kind of like you're high-fiving them, clasp. So you don't have to actually embrace them with your face.
You kind of embrace with their hands, and you're right there, and it's a very powerful move. And
it also keeps them from pressing their bodies against your face.
Mm. Yeah.
And then if they get too aggressive, you can just throw them down.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm going to try that at my next nightclub gig.
Do it.
Mark was commenting before we started taping that porn stars like drag queens or any LGBT entertainers get a lot of hate on the internet.
Oh, Lord. Yes,
and not necessarily from like a Perez Hilton person, but like just anonymous trolls. Strangers on forums like Reddit or, you know, GeoCities or Blogger, you know, just a bunch of different platforms that allow people to post anonymously. And part of that is like for people who are just getting started, it can be very devastating.
Absolutely. I've developed a thick skin. I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm 42 now, and like it still stings a little bit, but I've learned don't read what people say about you because it doesn't matter. But at the same time, you know, anytime someone throws insults at you, it's going to sting a little bit. But I look at it this way. This person is anonymous. That means they're not a person in my book. I mean, that's how I look at it. I delete and move on. I block. I mute. I mean, I don't even block. I mute. Because if you mute people, they don't know you even seen it.
You know, and I can handle that. I think what bothers me is when people we know believe what a random anonymous stranger will say over what you have to say about it.
Oh yeah, I get it too.
And
for
to me, it's like being ghosted is like, I don't ever ghost anybody. If I have a problem with somebody, I'll talk to them, you know, if I'm able to talk to them. Sometimes people just don't even want to have a conversation. And to me, that's the saddest thing about youth culture and the internet culture is that just a lot of people are just more than willing to excommunicate somebody, to disavow them, much like their parents disavowed them when they came out as LGBT, because they believe what a stranger wrote about them on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fact, but it's also the generation we live in now. I mean, people aren't building those kind of bonds that were built before. It's easier to cut someone out because it's easier to let someone in. I mean, let's face it, that's how it is. It's funny because I started dating someone 20 years younger than I am, and the difference in how people communicate is huge. Like I communicate a certain way. I'm very direct. I'm very open. I'm very honest. He'll hold it in and then send me a tweet later or send me an Instagram message later. I'm like, that's not how we communicate. That's not an effective way of communicating in my book. And just how easy he gets upset.
He's not going to be heard unless he writes it down and sends it to you, that you'll just steamroll over him.
Well, I mean, that's definitely could be true. I have a strong personality for sure. I do tend to talk over people and not listen. It's a skill that I'm still trying to learn, and we're always evolving.
But at least he's making an attempt to communicate. You know, he's writing something and saying something to you privately. He's not like posting something on social media and getting, you know, his friends to say, yeah, burn the witch. You know, holding a pitchfork in one hand and their dicks in another.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the conversation about that when he's been someone who's been negative to someone on the internet. And I was just like, you're not going to get anything out of that. You know, there's no point in doing that. Or insulting. What's the chick's name that the press secretary? She always looks
Sanders.
Upset or constipated.
Sanders.
Okay, we were on a flight with her. No.
Sanders.
Sanders Huckabee. Yeah.
We were on
Sanders. Yeah.
We were on a flight with her and she was sitting in the exit row and he tweeted, I don't know how safe I feel having a liar sit in the exit row. And I said, well, was that necessary? It's not necessary. Don't say it, you know? And sometimes what your mom said is true. If you have nothing nice to say, shut the fuck up.
I would say after the flight's over, not while I'm on the plane with her.
I said you should have got a selfie with her.
make out with them,
You know, and he was like, the first thing he said to me is, wow, she's not that fat in person. And I said, as someone who's on camera a lot, it adds 10 pounds, you know, and I'm sure she's stuffy enough up there as it is, but I'm sure it's adding weight to her.
Well, we're just so frustrated with a political situation. We, you know, we obviously have somebody who's a treasonous president. There's tons of evidence already. You know, a lot of people are saying this Mueller case, he's probably going to come forward with all this evidence, and the Republicans still not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually passed sanctions against Russia unanimously in the Senate and the House of Representatives. Trump signed it into law, but he's not going to enact them. And instead of the Republicans in the Senate reacting to this, saying, you need to enact these or we're impeaching you, they're just letting it go.
Yeah.
And to me, it's obvious. American citizens, we're so frustrated. We don't know what to do. So we target on a superficial level, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' weight, you know, and we reduce, we go low as instead of go high, like Michelle Obama says. We attack them on a level that they're attacking other people. We're bullying them back.
It's exactly. And I feel like, I don't know, I just don't agree with that. Yeah. I try not to do that myself. And I do catch myself doing it sometimes. Like when I have a hater snapping at me and I'm like, well, you're fat, I would never look at you twice. But I try to bite my tongue and not say that because I'm no different than them.
And I think, you know, for us, the frustration that we've felt is that, you know, we've been doing this show for quite some time. And, you know, there's times when everybody wants to come on the podcast, and it's really pleasurable to get to be the it girl for an interview. And there's other times when they're just too busy and they can't do the podcast. And we get frustrated because we'd like to talk to somebody that we had access to in the past. And that person decides for one reason or another that just it's not worth their while.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, some of these fans of those artists see that as a rejection of us.
Yeah.
And they use that as an opportunity to voice their jealousy and discontent. And
it's that I'm too good for you now attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the thing for me that saddens me the most is not any of that, because if you're in media, you're an entertainer, if you're out in the public, that's going to happen. It's, again, it's your friends, it's people that you've known and worked with for a while, them just saying, you know what, the atmosphere is too controversial, it's too negative. And I'm like, this is a anonymous thread on a blog, and you're giving up our friendship based on what someone you don't even know said that you know isn't true.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, I'm just like, that's not... And when I said man's rejection is God's protection, and, you know, for that person not to talk to you about that, it hurts so much when it's happening.
Yeah.
But it's really a gift, because that person is removing them out of your life and making space for somebody who celebrates you and cherishes you for who you are at the moment you are, and trusts and believes you.
Mm.
Yeah. And
so, you know, moving forward, I just want to tell everybody that you're posting things on the internet. If you're going to be a porn star or a drag queen or a blogger, a musician, the job is sometimes dealing with that negativity, whether it happens inside the house or outside of the house.
Yeah, it's funny. We brought up Boomer Banks earlier, and he was just saying the same thing to me. Like, I built this blog to attack another blog who's been attacking me. So I'm doing the same fucking thing. And he said, like, Billy, I'm worried about you because this isn't who you are. You know, I know who you are, and this shit usually rolls right off your back, and all of a sudden you're just done with it and you're going to attack him and attack everyone who deals with him. He's like, this isn't you. And I said, you're right. It isn't me, but I don't know what's wrong right now. I don't know how to let it go. I'm just tired of all the hate and all the cyberbullying. I just fed up. I see, you know, a fellow porn star kill herself over this shit. And it's to the point where no one's doing anything, you know, thoughts and prayers, fine, do something. And that's where I'm at. Like, if it's, I'm only one voice, but if one voice fights against it, it's something. And it may not mean much, but I'm not going to shut up about it because it's pathetic. You know, we're entertainers. We're literally exposing ourselves for the world. You know, we're vulnerable. We're very vulnerable and easily attacked. And people who get into porn, I'm not the usual because I'm older, but they're kids right off the fucking boat who are usually not from great homes, who are very insecure. And the one little thing that's said to you could be life and death. Mm. It's a fact. It can. And this girl was 23, and then the gay community started attacking her because of comments she made. You know, she's uneducated. She doesn't know our community. Of course she's going to make the wrong comments, but she got bullied to death. And that's ridiculous.
Well, can't just Lady Gaga write a song about it and be done with it?
You know, usually that's how it works.
The thing about it is like, you know, a lot of these big name celebrities, they, you know, with Tyler Clementi, you remember that, right?
Yeah.
I guess it, you know, it inspired other people to take their own lives because they felt like maybe if they killed themselves, then Lady Gaga would write a song about them or
Lord
get some attention because their pain and suffering felt like it was not being heard.
It's difficult. And, you know, yeah. Being a journalist, I do get, you know, things from organizations that work with suicide prevention and talking about suicide and writing about suicide. It's a very, very tricky thing, and most of the time they suggest that you don't even mention it because just the idea of talking about it sometimes puts that idea in people's heads.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's one of those things that's very, very tricky, and that's why we don't really talk about it too much on the show, is because that's the approach we take. It's like it's better to just not talk about it and then talk about it incorrectly, you know.
Yeah,
I remember when my little niece, she was about 6 years old, and she wanted to buy some candy at the grocery store, and she was weeping, throwing a huge, you know, these tears were emotional. It was going down to her soul. And my sister, in her infinite wisdom, she just took a pair of keys and gave it to her to play with. And all the pain and suffering was gone. It was not, no, you can't have this candy. No, you can't do this. It was distracting her with something that was more appealing at the moment. And she forgot about what she didn't have.
Yeah, you anticipate that. If you can't anticipate it, then just distract them.
And I think that's a lesson for all of us. Is you know, sometimes when we're in that dark place, sometimes, you know, that's the power of entertainment and the power of art, is to take us away from our pain and suffering by giving us a better world, a better reality, a sunnier future to focus on. And I think that's what's great about porn in some ways, is that it gives us this fantasy to lose ourselves in when our sex lives, when our romantic lives aren't ideal, or when we're feeling lonely and isolated.
Yeah.
Now, you know, like any good thing, too much of it can then interfere with that being developed. And, you know, but ain't nothing wrong on Valentine's Day, baby, to looking at your favorite porn and rubbing one out.
That's right. I already did that.
Aw.
Billy, it's such a pleasure talking to you. And you know, I know that times are tough and they're always not easy, but trust that we are here with you. And if there's anything we can do to get you through the tough parts so we can have fun and the fun parts, we're here for you.
My roller coaster usually goes up.
And up.
And up.
You can take that how you take it.
That's so horny. What about women who moan a lot during porn? Do you feel yourself like,
oh my God,
like
I sound just like them.
You're like, I'm horny. Ooh, I sound so big.
Ooh. Oh, I do the same thing.
It's so much fun to talk like that.
It's in my head. Like, I'm like, what should I say next? What should I say next? It's in my head.
Do you have like a go-to list of things you say?
Well, I do things in threes, I noticed. I'm like, yeah. Oh, fuck. I say everything in threes.
More.
And
gimme,
I'm always
gimme,
like,
gimme.
You know, certain studios want you to do it.
I'm going to come.
I'm going to come. Well, that's a requirement. You have to say you're going to come.
Oh, to let everybody know.
To let everybody know what's happening.
Is there a key to like getting that cum coming out at the right exact moment in porn, or is it just you just sit and wait for it to come, or is
you
it
you sit and wait for it to come,
and then you let everybody know it's coming, so get you zoom in and it's ready.
They jump up and everyone jumps back into position and lets it rip. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Billy, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. I'll see you when I'm in Chicago.
All right, yes, we'll see honey.
Bye, right, bye, boys.
Bye.
Billy Santoro lives in Washington, D.C.
D.C. as in delicious cock, honey. check out his porn blog, BillyLeakedIt.com, and his own LeakedAndLoaded.com, where he can get a more intimate perspective on his shenanigans.
So when are you going to launch your Only for Fans?
I don't know what to do with that, you know? I'd like, part of me, you know, there is a lid for every pot, and I'm sure some of you guys would enjoy that, but I feel I want to put all my energy into doing the best podcasts and videos we can, and there's only so much that time and energy in the day, and I just feel like putting that stuff out there, I mean, there are naked pictures of me being circled on the internet. I'm very conflicted about it.
Why is
honestly,
that?
Because, you know, people have nude photos of me. I don't think I've ever shown my face and my dick in the same photo. But it's, to me, it's like, if you're putting that stuff out there, why not just make some money off of it?
You know, that's the options, right?
I'm sure, you know, the board of directors at Scruff and Grindr ask themselves that question every day. Should we turn our platform into a monetized platform like YouTube or Patreon or OnlyFans and allow some of these people to access this platform to monetize it? Because it is, there's
see
a
my
huge
locked
platform.
Photos for $1.
I mean, it might be the gold mine. Might be the future of these apps is creating this kind of hybrid situation. You either it's kind of like YouTube Red, right? You pay a certain amount of money, you don't get ads,
right?
And I think you know, Grindr and Scruff Plus, whatever they're calling it these days, Pro or Plus,
Extra.
Is sort of allowing you to see some of these tools and functions, but why not share that with some of the more popular people on those platforms? I would mind seeing, you know, Marky Moore or Jake Burton on those platforms. And
yeah, I'd love to hear from some of the listeners out there. It's like, what kind of platforms are you guys already using to support your favorite artists? Are you guys on Patreon? Is Kickstarter the best thing for you? Or maybe only for fans? You know, let us know.
Or, you know, there's a ton of third party fan supporting content. And
which do you guys like to use? How do you like to use it? Let me know.
Let me know, because I'm dying to know.
I want to remind folks that we have our own version of Only for Fans, and that is our Feast of Fun Plus account. And you can sign up at feastoffun.com/plus and gain access to all of our archives, any of the past shows we've mentioned. We, you know, we talked about T.S. Madison on today's show. We talked about Monique, and we have interviews with both of them. Go back and listen. The archives are rich with a lot of really wonderful podcasts. I'm very proud of it, and I'm proud of our work, and I want to share it with you.
And that's at feastoffun.com/plus. And of course we have fabulous t-shirts, you know. Spring is coming, honey. T-shirt weather is just around the corner, and there's some great shirts like Not Shaven gives me more time for Misbehaving.
All right.
And some of other fabulous designs that are winners. And of course we have just coming right off the presses, Cooking with Drag Queens in Cranberry Red and Vanilla Sparkle Glitter.
Ooh.
It's quite gorgeous.
Sexy, it's sexy, sexy, sexy. Those are limited quantities.
Yes, once those are gone, they are gone for good. Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody who pledged to the Kickstarter should be receiving them shortly.
Soonish.
Soon. But you can order yours if you forgot to pledge or pledge at a different level, like you gave $1 or something like that, you change your mind, you can go to feastoffun.com/store. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.